spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
They are your body, Israel, come in Shabbat,
the eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today by Morton Wishengrad is entitled The Latecomers and marks the approaching Thanksgiving season. Featured as the narrator is Nelson Case.
In the beginning, there was this sound of the wind. Nothing but this sound and the running of the primeval seas and the rustling of leaves in the primeval forest. It was the early morning of the American continent. In this early morning, there was a thin western arm of land which bound Siberia to Alaska, where now there are the shallows of the Bering Sea. There was also an eastern arm of land which bridged the North Atlantic, pushing up from France through Britain, north to Iceland and Greenland, and across to Canada. And perhaps, in the unfolding of the world, primitive man walked dry-shod from Siberia in the west and dry-shod from France in the east to what is now the continent of America. Do you hear this sound? This is the first man on American soil, an Indian. Ask him why he came.
Somebody pushed me.
Yes, somebody or something either pushed him or pulled him. You don't leave your home for nothing. You go from fear. You go out of necessity. Listen. This is a new sound on the American soil. It is the sound of the first man, the first displaced person, the first refugee. Into the cleanliness of naked distance, over the pure and lonely call of wind in the buffalo grass, there came the footsteps of alien man.
And for 10,000 unremembered years, while the prairies were sleeping in the sun and a mole burrowed at the river's mouth, the first immigrants possessed the land. And then out of England, a small ship sailed.
Hello! Hello! What ship is that?
The ship Mayflower!
What is your cargo?
My crew and 100 dissenters! Heretics! Refugees!
They were pushed out. They were displaced. No one wept to see them go. And so they sailed onward and landed at Plymouth Rock.
Let us thank Almighty God.
They came ashore, and they were met by the first immigrant, the Indian.
I was here first. Go back where you came from.
Recorded American history began with I was here first. When the Puritans came, the Pilgrims said to them,
I've been here longer.
BHL, been here longer. American aristocracy. Aristocracy of prior desperation, prior hunger, prior poverty, prior persecution, prior flight. Pilgrims, Puritans, Quakers, dissenters, the Catholics in Maryland, the Huguenots in New York. They were refugees. The American population was a population of refugees. They were the unwanted dissenters of Europe, and America was a haven. But once here, some of them forgot. They had become aristocrats because they had arrived first.
Camel, the country's coming to a bad pass. Look what's coming in. Nothing but foreigners.
There are two histories of America. Yes, America has been a haven and a refuge. America has been the fine words of the Declaration of Independence. America has been the nobility of Roger Williams and a proclamation of liberty. This has been good and true. But America has also been the nativism and the lunatic fringe of the American Protective Association, the Know-Nothings, the Ku Klux Klan, the bigots who bombed Catholic churches in Massachusetts and assaulted Negroes in Detroit. America is not simple. Why should it be? Where is there one simple human being? Where is there good without evil? And who will deny that the good is held in higher esteem, that this country, this continent, is a banner to all the nations? Spin the globe, ponder the maps, and ask, where is a better hope, a sounder liberalism, a truer source of optimism? For which America shall we offer thanksgiving?
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Lines inscribed upon the base of the Statue of Liberty. Lines for a child to speak at bedtime. Lines for an impulse toward greatness and a national humanity never known in the history of the world. Whatever the cynics declare, however the scoffers smile, we were a comfort and an opportunity. And the good men whose memory we serve have neither been mean in spirit nor a friend of despair. We were an open door. Through the 19th century into the 20th century, we were a statue upon a pedestal set in New York Harbor. We were a passage in the book of Deuteronomy.
Thou shalt surely open thy hand unto thy poor and needy brother.
We were a fulfillment and a blessing from an ancient prayer.
Open unto us the gates at the time of the closing of the gate.
A prayer of thanksgiving for America. An America which was an open gate at a universal time of the closing of the gate. But then, slowly, reluctantly, not with malice, but out of stress and compulsion, the population experts declared,
within the last 75 years, we have absorbed 25 million immigrants.
Mr. Speaker, I introduce a bill to restrict immigration.
There was a sound. Yes, there was a sound of a door shutting. The Immigration Act of 1917. The Immigration Act of 1924. Necessity, but nevertheless, a door closing. A chapter finished. A very proud chapter. But now this is 1947, the beginning of a week in November when we shall go to church and synagogue and chant a psalm of thanksgiving. We shall praise God for ourselves and for our children that we are in this land. But is that all? This is 1947. Is Thanksgiving a celebration behind a closed door?
I am an immigration expert. Under the immigration quota system of the United States, it would have been possible to admit legally, without stretching our quotas, 1,500,000 500,000 immigrants between 1933 and 1944.
We actually admitted only 500,000, of whom less than 300,000 were refugees.
Necessity had closed a door in 1917 and 1924. But there was greater necessity in the years of the cold thrust of annihilation. And men and women were murdered with their backs against the door. I believe that the immigrant may not forget the immigrant. The refugee may not forget the refugee. The persecuted may not forget the persecuted. We may not forget them. Who are they? Who are those standing before the door?
850,000 displaced persons in Europe.
How many are Catholics? How many are Jews? How many are Protestants? The questions are important.
Roman Catholics and Greek Catholics, approximately 500,000.
Protestants, 100,000.
Jews, 200,000.
These are what are left. Perhaps their brothers and sisters, their children, could have been alive. But during the congressional session of 1938-39, this happened.
Mr. Speaker, I introduce a bill to admit 20,000 refugee children.
You have heard the bill. All those opposed?
Opposed.
The bill is defeated.
Rumors flooded America that millions of refugees had been admitted. The fact was that since 1933, less than 300,000 have been permitted to enter. But fact, somehow, is always pallid against rumor. We entertain ourselves by fiction. And fiction and rumor are powerful keys to lock a door. We have come a long distance from the first immigrant, and American history is found between the years then and now. But America's history is not final, for justice is not final. If we have been compassionate before, we may not be merciless now. If we were impelled to humanity in the past, we may not become pitiless in the future.
The lines have fallen unto me in goodly places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage.
And so there are the delayed pilgrims, this new line of our heritage. To know, to understand the 850,000
displaced persons still in Europe, you must know and understand these fortunate 300,000 who entered America since 1933. All right, what are they like? Have they been good for us to have? Are we better because of them? Are we worse? Who are they?
Approximately 44% had attended schools equivalent to the American college level.
12 of them were Nobel Prize winners.
103 are listed in Who's Who in America.
220 are listed in American Men of Science.
They include Thomas Mann, Protestant, Arturo Toscanini, Catholic, Albert Einstein, Jew.
They could not live under fascism. They came here.
Are we better or worse for their presence?
Here's an expert's answer.
So selective was the emigration that Hitler's Germany and Mussolini's Italy became intellectual deserts.
All to the good. But did all Americans agree? There were some who said in the 30s,
the flood of refugees has created unemployment, made the Depression worse.
This was the charge. What was the fact?
Between 1931 and 1940, when there was a problem of unemployment, so many people left America to go back to the old world that the excess of arrivals over departures was exactly 68,693.
In other words, we had a net population gain through immigration of less than 70,000 for 10 years. There was another complaint. You may still hear it.
Some of the refugees are arrogant, overbearing, quarrelsome.
Let a refugee answer.
It is true, some are arrogant and overbearing. Some have bad manners, but they adopt this superior attitude only because they are insecure.
The New York Times commented editorially on January 27, 1945,
"The fact that a person is a refugee from tyranny does not make him a hero or a saint. It does prove that he does not like tyranny or cannot get on with it. Points which are in his favor. On the whole, this